Hi, everyone. I'm Rebecca Lynn Bologna, host of the summit You Can Do Anything, How to Manifest Dreams into Goals, Live a Purpose-Driven Life. My purpose of this summit is to show success is possible. We just need to move towards it. In business and in life, there are different goals to be achieved, but they ultimately work together to kind of get you to where you want to be. And today I am here with Ali Lapreet, who is known as a work-life balance expert. Now, Ali is the host on iHeart Talk Radio of Visceral Parent Stayed Home with more than 160 million subscribers. Her mission and something that she is constantly working towards is to bring 1 million parents home through self-employment and entrepreneurship. So welcome, Ali.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be here.
I'm glad to have you. So I want to start and talk, you know, a few weeks ago you had made the comment that our stories are always evolving, and this is where I want to start today. Can you give us a little background on your story and how you have gotten to where you are today?
Yeah, in fact, I love just the fact that my experience today, I'll tell you that, you know, I just picked up a client this morning who was in a place that I was in about, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. And it really is amazing to take a look at our beginnings. When I first started, I had no idea what I was doing. I was a brand new mom. I was completely shifting into a different perspective, a different persona. I was understanding the world differently. Everything was transformed through the eyes of myself as a mother. And it was something that I wasn't really expecting. You know, everybody always tells you how to prepare for parenting and how to take care of your child and how to, you know, you do all this stuff to prepare, but the one thing that people really are not talking about is how you change, how you metamorphosize into a completely different person. I don't recognize myself at all from who I was before I had children. All of a sudden, I didn't want to climb corporate ladders. All of a sudden, I did not, you know, I wasn't excited about the industry that I was in. It didn't fulfill me. I was resentful of my employer and of my coworkers. I felt that an intense desire pulling me towards someplace else, and it was, number one, to be with my children, but also to have freedom, and I had this complete burst of creative energy that I didn't know anything about. I also had a burst of confidence that I never had before, or at least I was working towards having that confidence. So, you know, so when I had my firstborn, my child, I went to work for about 14 months. I was in agony. I hated it. I hated every moment. And I kept looking for ways to come home. I kept searching and searching. And, you know, and this was 9 years ago. And so back then it was much harder. There wasn't, you know, the internet is not what we know it to be now. There wasn't the big work-at-home explosion that we are now living in right now. It was still sort of the beginning of what of, you know, the mom entrepreneur society. And I had no idea if I could even run a business. I did not have any business education, business skills. I didn't go to school for business. I only had an entertainment background. And I didn't care. I was so passionate and inspired by the desire to have freedom, to give to my children without apology, and not have to worry about an employer, and not being spread so thin to make my employer a top priority when my employer was never going to make me a top priority. It all seemed very backwards to me. And so, I don't know, someone out there must have been listening, higher power, I don't know, whatever you might believe, but I did lose my job. And I was able to collect some unemployment, and it wasn't a lot. It wasn't enough to sustain us forever, but it was enough for me to say, I'm gonna figure out a way to stretch this as far as I can, and we're gonna build something. And you know, it was a process. It was working with my husband, convincing him that even though I didn't know what I was doing, I had enough passion in me to figure it out as I went, figuring out the scheduling, figuring out, you know, how to balance everything, how to be there 100% for my kids and for myself and for my husband and to be the homemaker and to build a business, how to wear 18 hats just in my business alone. And it took a lot of, you know, a lot of falling down, a lot of failing, and a lot of stumbling around before I finally got it. And I think that's how most successful business leaders, I think that's our rite of passage, you know, is to go through all that struggle. And what I created was really just the beginning of my journey. OurMilkMoney.com was the first organization. It's a nonprofit, and it's a business directory for self-employed parents. And my vision was really just to, that I kept thinking that there's real power in numbers and power in our consumer demographics. Why aren't we just giving each, buying from each other? There's enough of us that are passionate about what, about coming home and putting our family first without apology, and we still needed to draw out an income. Why don't we just hire each other all the time? It doesn't matter what's happening in the economy or who fires us. We're in control if we're working together and we're unified. So OurMilkMoney.com was the first attempt to create an online entrepreneur parent business society, and it's still going. It's still there. That was the first business that I started. A lot of bumps. Didn't make much money for me at first. It still doesn't. It became nonprofit because I believed in it so much that I didn't ever want to close its doors. I just found a way to fund it at a very minimal level. But it gave me the jumping off point for so many of the other things that I've been doing. And so, you know, 9 years later, I'm sitting very pretty in a space that I'm very proud of because I created it for myself, for my family.
You know, you basically created your own little economy in your initial business there, and it really did launch you forward. And, you know, as you came home and you started that process and you started building and knew that you did not want to go back to work, you know, I just basically, working from home is this like idealistic concept. You know, you have all this free time and you get to do whatever you want, and, you know, but there's boundaries, and it's so easy to cross those boundaries. And, you know, can you give some insight into what it was really like when you first kind of got home and how you set those boundaries to, you know, make sure that you did propel forward in business, but you also got what you wanted, that freedom that you desired to be with your family?
Freedom is scary. You know, freedom, we say we want freedom. It's what we crave. It's what we desire. We don't like feeling like we're beholden to somebody else's schedule and somebody else's rules and somebody else's boundaries. And we crave that freedom, but for so many of us, once we get it, it's terrifying. And it is at every different stage that you get into. I mean, if you're a new parent, you know, sometimes you feel trapped. You feel very trapped. You don't have the freedom that you want. You're at your baby's beck and call. I mean, if you're not there for your child is going to starve. I mean, you have a certain responsibility, and that's a lot of pressure on moms. So even though we crave that freedom, in some ways, when we become parents, we lose it completely. However, what we do have is the ability to make choices within our lifestyle. So we can carve out a strategy so that we can get a good night's sleep, so that we can shower, so that we can build a business or something, some kind of way to give back to the community in a way that fulfills us personally, a way that we can actually nurture our friendships and our marriages. You know, so we do have a little bit more in control of those things. We just need to make those things a priority. And, yeah, we are kind of trapped by that. And, you know, going back to the question of, you said, how do we create that? How do we create that structure in a way that works for us? And, of course, everybody's structure is going to be different because everybody's children, everybody has a different child with different personalities. I have two kids, very different from one another. Raising one was very different than raising the other. They're only 3 years apart. But, you know, we try to establish control. We're used to that control, and we're told to keep a certain amount of order in our lives. And, yes, what we want to do is we want to create flexible boundaries. So boundaries where we know that we have our limits. Like if we're not getting this, you know, X amount of hours of sleep at night, that eventually we're going to break down. And I found that out the hard way. And it was such a blessing. I look back at I'm more grateful for this difficult time 9 years ago. Actually, was it 9? It was about 7 years ago. I'm probably most grateful for that time than I am of anything in my life. So what I was doing is I was building a business. I was at home. I had a 2-year-old that was now that he's 9. He's 9 years old now. And now that he's 9 and, you know, he communicates with me and he speaks my language, I can see that he was never a child. He's always been an adult trapped in a baby's body. And he was frustrated and he couldn't speak and he couldn't walk and he couldn't do all of these things that the other babies were just enjoying being babies, and he hated being a baby. But I was getting the brunt of this. I was the one being punished for being his mom. And, you know, he's one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. He's excelling in school right now, but man, when he was 2 years old, he got the better of me every single day. And I was also trying to build a business, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I'd taken on a business partner that, you know, we weren't working so well together. And maybe there was a lot of things that I can be responsible for. Maybe looking back, I can say, yeah, I wasn't a great partner. But whatever it was, all of these things contributed to me having a breakdown. And I ended up in the hospital. And it really did come from the fact that I was so stressed out and trying so hard to make everything work and to prove to everybody that I could be a business leader and that my idea was not bogus, trying to prove to my husband, trying to prove to our family, everybody who said, what are you doing? Why aren't you going back to work? You know, I was under so much pressure, and because there was really no time for me to sleep or to work, you know, with silence except for 4 a.m, that's when I worked. And because I worked in the middle of the night, I didn't sleep for about 6 months, which led ultimately to my breakdown. And that was, like I said, the greatest gift that could have possibly ever happened to me, because I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to, you know, I had such a big vision for where I was headed, but I knew I had to make some significant changes. I knew I needed to create boundaries. I knew I needed to sit down with my husband and say, we're a team, and let's figure this out. And what hours can you give me? And how can I ask you to, you know, how can I ask you to give me those hours, you know, so that I can hold you accountable to be here, to watch the kids while I go to work so that I can actually sleep. We had to figure out what our resources were. And that's when I learned really about gathering your support system, sitting down, calling a family meeting, and figuring out what you have to work with. Not necessarily raising expectations. If you don't have more hours than you have, then, you know, don't make anyone feel bad about that. But, hey, if I only have 5 hours a week that I can really count on for my husband to be there and support me, well, then I'll work with 5 hours, and we're going to make sure that every hour is so laser-sharp focused on strategy that, you know, no action that I do is uninspired, and no action will never not give me results again. And that's how I got, you know, that's how I built the structure. I never would have created that. I never would have figured any of that out unless I had a huge breakdown and, you know, I almost lost my life. but it was such a blessing, because that had to happen for me to be able to create the structure that we have in place right now.
You know, you talked about that breakdown, and it can definitely be, I mean, you basically are at a fork in the road when you're at that point, and, you know, you definitely, you could have taken a different route and went back to work, and, you know, obviously you didn't, and you chose to just kind of push through and focus in on, but make it better. You know, you started to, it sounds like, streamline some of your processes and kind of work with what you have instead of wishing that you could, I mean, we can't, there's only 24 hours in a day. You know, you can't wish
right,
for 1 hour.
Yeah.
So you can't, you only can work with what you have. And that kind of brings me to my next question. You know, what advice can you give to those that are just starting out and finding it hard to focus and are kind of feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're just starting out, and by starting out, I'm guessing that means you've got young children. And the younger they are, the more they rely on you. And so you really are at their beck and call there. Ironically, around the time that you become a new mother, there is an explosion of creativity that's awakened in you. And so we all feel this desire to create something, but this sort of feeling like, but we can't, because now we have a new job. Now we have a new boss. You know, the new CEO of our life is our child. It's beck and call. And like I said, different children are going to be different. My oldest would never let me work. Never, never, never. My youngest, who just recently went into elementary school for the first time, he always let me work. He loved being next to me. He would sit there and color and pretend like he was working with me. He was so easy for me to work with. My first, no, not at all. So what I want, the first thing that I want to do is I want parents to know that whatever situation you're in, it's not your fault. You might have a more difficult child. I don't mean difficult, but you might have, you know, a more genius child that needs more attention. You might be a single mom. You might not have resources in place. You might have, in-laws that are down the street and ready to work with you, and you may not. You may not have friends. I didn't have a lot of friends. We had just moved into a new area, and I wasn't really connecting with the other moms in my area. And, you know, I didn't find that I didn't know who to call upon for help. And so I was constantly searching. My advice to you is look at what you have, not what you don't have. Don't sit there and beat yourself up for what you don't have. Look at what you do have. Do you have a husband that is committed to coming home by 8 o'clock every night? Do you have a husband or a friend who is committed to trading with you? Maybe there's somebody in the neighborhood who's also trying to build a business, and you can swap play dates. Maybe you do have, maybe you can't afford a little child care. Maybe you can't. Maybe you can barter that. You know, there's all these ways to solve problems, but we don't know what they are until we take a look at your situation. Whatever your situation is, there's going to be a solution for it. You just have to look at it. What is my agenda? What do I have to try and figure out? How many hours a week do I have? And you really need to carve out that time, sit down with your spouse and say, okay, how many hours can you give me? Can I count on you for that? You know, my husband and I, there was a lot of stumbling in the beginning for us as well, but we had to create a structure based on trial and error. So there's going to be error. You have to know that going in. You know, I remember in the beginning, you know, that he would commit to being home by 7:30, and then we would have dinner, and then I would go to work from 8 to 11. That was my time to work, and so I really counted on those times. But what we hadn't really accounted for was the busier time of year where he would have to work late, and very often he didn't know he had to work late until the moment where he was ready to drive home and his boss would say, I need you to stay. And so if I had clients or if I had something really, you know, booked that night, then my business was going to suffer. So we had to learn by trial and error that there was a certain time of the year that I was never going to book appointments that I couldn't reschedule, that I was going to scale my business back and forward for summer vacations when I didn't have as much child care in place. You know, that it is important that you are creating that flexibility with your boundaries with a business that is scalable so that you can be the boss of your own life. You can be the boss of your business, and you can say, all right, I'm taking August off. My kids are going to be home, and I need to be with them 100% of the time. Even when kids get older and they can they can entertain themselves, you know, you still have to drive them places. You still have to be there for them. You know, they're still really counting on you to, you know, to be their entertainment very often. So you have to build a business and know that there's got to be a time where you call the shots and you make it scalable.
I like that. The scalable, the being on a slide and being able to kind of move it back and forth. I've never really thought about it like that before, but that is exactly, especially with children at any age, you know, some think that, oh, my kids get older, it'll be easier, but you're right, there's just new and different activities that they get involved in that you're still going to have to juggle. And, you know, I know time management and inning setting can be hard when you're trying to work with a career and family. You know, what best practices do you use daily that kind of help you maintain that focus and kind of that momentum?
Well, and I think it's really important to know that you're never going to be perfect right out of the gate. You're not going to. It's just not possible. The only way for you to have any idea of how to create the structure that's going to best work for you and for your family is to struggle for a little while. You know, the only way that we know what we want is to live in a situation that is undesirable. We have to be in that undesirable space. We have to be in that struggling, challenging space in order to go, I don't like this anymore. I'm going to change it. Well, you're not going to know how to put reinforcements. You're not going to know what you want, what you're desiring, what you're going after until you are in this space that is not ideal, that is not, you know, fulfilling to you. So that applies to everything. It's important to know, okay, this isn't working for me. That's a gift. I know it's not working for me. Why is it not working for me? What do I need here? You know, all of the struggles that you go through are presented to you by the universe so that you can come up with solutions. Every challenge that ever presents itself to you is usually because you're asking for a solution, and the solution can't present itself without a challenge. So everybody's situation is going to be different, but one thing that I will say is that this is a fantastic community and it's a fantastic time. It's way better than it was when I first got started. There's a lot more support and reinforcements out there for moms that want to start their own businesses. There's a huge supportive community that is already in place for you, and it wasn't there 10 years ago when I was just getting started. I mean, it was. It was much better than it was, you know, 20 years before, but now, you know, there's some real successful business leaders that have paved the way. And, you know, they have operated with the intention of not apologizing anymore. You know, we used to be so apologetic as moms. We used to be apologetic for our kids. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think has made this community thrive so well is that we stopped apologizing. And we started just saying, you know what, I'm not going to do business with non-parents. I'm just not going to do it. It's not because I don't like non-parents. It's not because I want to be discriminatory. It's because I have to operate in a way that they will never truly understand. Yeah. And other parents will understand it. And when you stop apologizing, when you're working with non-parents, you feel this need to apologize all the time. Oh, I'm so sorry, my child. You don't understand. And you know that they don't understand because you remember what it was like before you became a parent. Mm-hmm. You know, so we know all of those things. And what we really want to do is just eliminate the need for us to explain ourselves. We don't owe anybody an explanation. So we avoid that by just working with each other. Do as much business as you possibly can with other parents. And then when your child is interrupting you because you're on a conference call or when you are multitasking, you know, what you're doing is you're empowering the other person that you're working with. You're now giving them permission to do the same. And that's why the community is so strong now. That's how we've grown. That's how we've become so successful by supporting one another.
You know, it's exactly right. Before I was a mom, I have three little girls, but before I was a mom, I had no idea. And I do find myself constantly apologizing, even with friends that, you know, they've known me for years. They've been around for all three kids. I still find myself, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, some of them laugh and some of them are, you know, oh, thank you for the apology, you know.
Yeah, you have to change the language. You really need to commit to changing that language and catching yourself. And some of it, sometimes you don't even really mean I'm sorry, but it's just, it's out of habit that that's what you say. And so you just start by saying, instead of saying, I'm so sorry, you say, pardon me, which, you know, is a very polite way to say, excuse me for a minute, but you're not apologizing. You're not doing anything wrong. You know, I just heard one the other day where someone said, you know, instead of saying, oh, don't let me forget, changing the wording to, oh, please remind me, which is a more positive way, because what you're doing is you're sending messages out not only to the universe but to yourself that, you know, don't let me forget. What you're really sending out is the message, forget. you know what I'm saying? And so you want to be conscious of your wording and the language that you're using, not only with your children and the people that you're working with, but with yourself. And I'm sorry is something that you need to be very careful of. Take that out of your vernacular as much as possible. You know, if you catch yourself saying it, just, you know, consciously remember that next time I'm going to use the phrase pardon me, and practice it. Once you practice it, it will become a lot easier. And it's not just going to benefit you and your life and help your business grow and help your children do better. It's going to give other parents permission to grow their business and to act in a way that they're not being apologetic.
You know, it's kind of that mindset shift. And, you know, on that, I do have a question for you. As we come across that resistance of kind of that fear and self-doubt and having to deal with kind of our mindset changes, you know, we're changing our words here. And it kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, just overcoming that fear and kind of putting self-doubt where it needs to be. Maybe even, you know, the reality of becoming a work-at-home mom, you know, how did you handle that? Did you have any of that resistance and that self-doubt that you had to kind of shift your mindset into a different zone to make sure that you were...
Well, absolutely. I mean, fear, we have to learn how to utilize fear because it's presenting itself for a reason. You know, sometimes fear is there to protect us. Clearly. I mean, if there's a business opportunity, for example, that's being presented to you that seems a little bit too good to be true, and you kind of got your cackles up, and you're, I don't know, I'm feeling a little weird about this. Well, that fear is there to protect you. And so you have to dissect it. You have to acknowledge it and then identify it. What is this fear telling me? Is this fear just posed as a distraction for me so that I won't move forward? And then you have to keep asking your questions. What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? And then really kind of pulling back the layers of the onion and dealing with that fear. You know, I just came back from a conference, and I heard this wonderful story of this woman who was doing her first webinar. She was going to teach a webinar. And I forgot what the webinar was about, but she's into the metaphysical. She teaches about crystals. And she was terrified that she was going to create this entire big webinar no one was going to show. And I think this is a common fear for somebody who wants to create a business and doesn't know if there's going to actually be clients for them that are going to show up. And, you know, it's a legitimate fear. I have it all the time, even though I have, you know, millions of people listening to my radio show. There's times where I think, what if they're not there? What if one day they just decide to turn off the radio? You know, there's always that fear. But if you dive right into it and you dissect it, what you realize is where you can legitimize what you're in need of. So, long story short, she realized that her biggest fear was just that nobody was going to show. And then she decided that she was going to do it anyway. She was going to do this webinar. It wasn't even a virtual webinar. It was a live webinar in a classroom. She'd gotten the classroom and everything, but she had surrendered to the idea that anybody would show. And she began to get excited about the fact that maybe nobody would show and it wouldn't matter because she was still going to record herself and come up with great content that she could repurpose. And that's exactly what she did. And people didn't show because she wasn't really prepared and she didn't really know how to market and promote herself. And because she was willing to step through that fear, she was able to see that next time she knows exactly what she needs to do. She knows exactly where she fell short, and now she needs to, you know, spend more time investing in marketing promotion, maybe some sales calls, maybe actually getting on the phone with her ideal clients. You know, there's a lot of things that were missing for the next time that she never would have figured out unless she'd gone through this. But she sat there and she put her crystals on these chairs and she performed to them. And she recorded herself, came up with the content, and also realized while she was doing her content how valuable her content was, something that she never would have felt if she'd actually done this for a group of people. So in a way, it was sort of a test run for her. And that fear might have prevented her from going further. Her fear might have prevented her from failing. It was a big, fat failure in some ways, but in a lot of ways, that's how you learn. And that's how her next webinar is going to be so wonderful. And we see this showing up again and again and again for ourselves. Everybody who is successful has failed a lot, again and again and again. Like I said, it's our rite of passage. Nobody just has success handed to them. And so when we start to know that, then we start to welcome the fear because we know that the fear is our friend. It's presenting an opportunity for us to learn. Where can I learn? What am I afraid of? I'll tell you another quick story, and it doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, building a small business as a mom. But, you know, I was in a show this summer, and one of the girls who was just the lead, incredible singing voice, she is the lead in all of the shows in our community. And I had said to her, why are you here? You really should be on Broadway. And she said, well, I'm scared. And I said, well, what are you scared of? And she said, I'm afraid that I'm going to go to New York and find out that I'm not any good. And I laughed and I said, that's the easy part. It's very likely that you're going to go to New York and find out that you are not as good as everybody there. Absolutely. In fact, I think you need to expect that. But that's easy. All you have to do is get better. There's no way to know how you need to improve or how you need to get better until you go there and try and fail a few times. That's how we learn.
So true. You definitely, you know, there's such a negative connotation with failure, and turning that around and having that spin on it can definitely be a huge change in your business, just because you're no longer kind of expecting just pure success, like you said, you know, nobody is handed success. You know, you definitely have to walk. And, you know, some paths may be easier than others. And some things, you know, you may be really great at sales, but you are horrible at the pitch, you know, as far as, you know, getting them actually on the phone. Once they're on the phone, you know you can sell it to them. You know, there's definitely, you know, you're going to have places where you're better than others. And, you know, that's just, that's part of growth. And it's definitely... Yeah. Something that you...
And you need to know where you need to improve upon. You won't know until you try. You might get up and speak in front of people and go, well, that was terrible. Now I know I need to hire a coach that's going to help me speak better. Or, gosh, I just did the worst sales call of my life, and now I know I need to work with somebody and research and do some studying and get better at my sales strategy. Wherever you need improvement, that's easy. You can always improve, but you have to identify it first before you know where to improve.
I love that. So we are coming up on time for this interview, so I want to make sure that we take some time and let our followers and listeners know today where to find you. So I'm going to hand the mic over to you, and we can discuss that.
Sure. I am at AllieLaprete.com. That's probably the best place that you can find me. You can schedule time with me. You know, there's our radio show is also there. The radio show is probably the biggest thing that I'm working on now. We're also working on a TV show. We have so many free resources for anyone that's looking for support. You can also go to thislittleparent.com. And finally, if you already have a business and you're already looking to get exposure for it, you know, my original business is still there for you. It's a nonprofit, so your membership fee is covered by our funders. And it's free to you. It's ourmilkmoney.com.
Perfect. And we will make sure that we have all of those links on the email that goes out for this. And, you know, the listeners today, I hope that you took away some valuable information. I definitely know I did. And I look forward to you talking with you guys at the next interview. So thank you. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day.